sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Revelation 16. We're now at verse 7, on page 7. First John 1, 9 contains a promise, provided we, as believers, confess or acknowledge our sins, we are forgiven. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like personal hygiene, so is the Christian way of life when it is operating properly. The believer continues to confess throughout the day, and at this time, let's make sure, since you made the effort, to be in fellowship with the information that we have this evening. Let us pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we come before the throne of your grace and we assemble ourselves together so that we can continue our focus on the mind of Christ and on the prophetic word of God in particular. Thank you for this opportunity and all the factors that are involved so that we can be here individually and collectively. Bless this class to our spiritual edification. In Christ's name, amen. The altar speaks in verse 7. Here within the context of the bowl that we have here, bowl that was poured out on the rivers and trashed all available, apparently all, at least a big portion of it, the earth's fresh water systems will be turned into blood. And the response from the angel of the waters. Did you know there was one of those? There is an angel of the waters. Exactly what all he does and carries on, but it obviously is not just a title. There's something that goes on in connection with it. So his realm that he oversees is trashed, but he isn't objecting. Like I said, all the God and all of the elect angels, they're on the same page. You can't say that about believers, but you can say it about the angelic order. We will be one of these days. We will all be on the same page. Be nice to have it down here in time as a believer, so that you can experience the afterlife and recognize that you had your act together under sound teaching. All right. In response to this, this angel says basically that the human race has been killing believers at this time in the tribulation, shedding their blood, and these people get blood to drink. They deserve it. That might seem not righteous, but it is. The angel is righteous. He says they deserve it. They've earned it. Moving on, we have verse 7. Now, this is unusual in that what we have here is speaking coming from an inanimate object, an altar. And I heard the altar saying, and John is a reporter, as I've said, aorist active indicative, the thusiasterion, that's a mouthful. This is a particular altar, not just any altar. Saying, yes, nigh, here, the particle nai, that's the Greek for our yes. Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty. The word Almighty is all-powerful, omnipotent. It's, the word itself sounds like it should fit that. Pantokrator. Pantokrator. The pan part's all, tokrator. All-powerful. True. Lathanos. True and righteous. Dikaios, the adjective, are your judgments. Krisis, in the plural, your, one. Next, point one, John hears the altar speaking. Altar speaking? A voice comes from the altar. Here it is the golden altar of incense. The golden altar of incense, of which there was one in the tabernacle and temple. There is one in heaven, a golden altar of incense. We've seen it earlier in the book of Revelation with the offering of incense in the early going. And here the golden altar of incense is personified. You got to be pretty flexible when you interpret the Word of God. Figures of speech and things of this nature exist. This is personification. As the prayers of the saints is personified as the prayers of the saints for payback, vengeance. The Word of God says, "A vengeance is mine." We are not to take our own revenge. Get back at somebody. We're not to take our own revenge. God will take care of that. That's His department. So here, the altar concurs, point three, with the song of the angel that these prayers will now be answered. The prayers of believers through the centuries for the coming kingdom of the Lord will be answered. They didn't go away. So you might consider reviewing the doctrine of prayer. Its breakdown in the life of a believer leads to bad results. So, a voice from the four horns of the altar has been prepared for the personification of the altar, such as this. Other objects of speech from inanimate objects are found in these verses. So this is not the first time. The altar addresses God by His title, Lord God, the Almighty, as also in 15:3. Lord God, sovereign God, deity, the Almighty, the all-powerful one. It then voices agreement with the words again of the angel in 16:5 and 6 through a simple yes. Yes. God's actions are true and righteous. Always keep that in mind in dealing with whatever it is He's dealing with. True and righteous. They're never vengeful or capricious like those of pagan deities. Pagan deities were made in the image of the people that created them in their own minds. So they had the same passions, same cruelty, lust, all of it was incorporated into these pagan deities. Because they were making deities in their own image. They are in harmony with His perfect essence. Psalm 119, 137. There's the longest chapter and psalm. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You remember this particular Psalm 119, don't you? Each of the stanzas in it begins with a word in the sequence of the Hebrew alphabet. And they, your Bible may have, Sade is the one that starts this off, and that's the first letter in the Hebrew word righteous. That letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So anyway, just 19:9 reads, "The law of the Lord is perfect." We would say today, because that was the marching order of the Jews, they were to live under, this was their equivalent, this was their legal and spiritual code, the do's and don'ts. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul from recovery, from everything, from being out of fellowship to what have you. Restoring the soul. The witness or testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the stupid. 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You should get joy from reading and studying God's word and His precepts. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes of the soul. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. And here's this one for you. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward.
Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its service
temporal. Those damn phones. Just kidding. Don't feel bad. I don't even bring mine up here. There is something I want to read in it for you. It has to do with the history of the establishment of the Jewish state. I think it was last Wednesday. I kept this one on my phone. It was the lead article dealing with all that was involved leading up to the declaration of Israel as a nation in 1948, which they're celebrating their 78th anniversary this year, as you probably know. Okay? And I found it fascinating. The British played a big part in it. They took down the Ottoman Empire, Turkish. Had ruled over the land for 400 years. They got them out of there. And you read the rest of it. And England was very pro-Israel and establishment of that commonwealth in Israel. Oh yeah. That doesn't mean they are today. But they were, and their leaders back then. It's interesting. It's a very interesting and informative article. You probably can run it down. And this whole history, and then, of course, the minute they were declared a nation, they come under attack by Egypt, Iran, Lebanon, and another one. They come under this attack. It looks like they were goners. They didn't have much. They didn't have squat for military. They're just a bunch of people came from other countries or settling in there. And then you read what happened to turn this all around for him and preserve him. It's like killing the baby in the cradle. It didn't happen. It did not happen. It's God controlling human history, not man. It's not because the Jews are so smart. They're like everybody else. But God has a plan. And it continues to unfold with regard to the Jewish Commonwealth. I already found out that was... I'm going to go read it again. The history is really cool. And all these people around the world today that are against the nation of Israel, there are some nations out there. If you read in the deals on that, that their diplomats and their people, that they're closely tied to Israel. They're not the big nations. And you can argue what you want about the United States. Okay. On the surface, it's doing these things. But these nations, the big ones, Asian, China, Russia, and so forth, a bunch of the European nations, not necessarily all of them. So I got off track. Okay, so what? So getting Bible doctrine and getting the precepts and the plan of God in front of you is more desirable than gold. Gold can just get you so far. It can buy you an expensive car and house and great food and travel and all that. That's what gold can do. But it can't deliver your soul. It can't give you an ounce of SG3 unless you are generous with it and help others. You have to be on top of these things. That you are, you who have been here, you're accountable. You've heard this over the years. And you're to operate in accord with that. Not according to the flesh, but according to doctrine. So when I'm up here and I'm talking about basic but very important stuff, quit judging people. Grace people out as best you can. You can pick at what some decision that they're making or not making. Look to yourself and pray for them and be an encouragement for them. Even weak believers or believers that are new to the game, they need your encouragement. Or believers that are making a comeback, etc., 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 etc. So by these things you are warned. I'm not going there. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Oh, I can do that. Rebound. Presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. He doesn't say, don't let me ever sin again. But don't let them be over me and driving my life. Then I'll be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. This Jewish individual who wrote this psalm, he had gotten away from God and away from his word and made a comeback. No, this is David. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the big psalm, the one with all the... I'm sorry, I got that twisted around. My bad. But we'll go to King David. And I shall be acquitted of great transgression. He had some of them to his name, didn't he? Great transgression. On a scale of 1 to 10. Up there high. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Not just what I say, but what's going on and what I'm thinking about. Let it be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In this verse, judgments replaces ways of 15:3. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of the Lord, and sang the song saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations, Lord over the nations. That's what I keep occupied with. All this stuff that's going on, He's got it under control. And as I've grown spiritually over the years, I don't get wrapped up in it. I expect these people with no doctrine, Christian or not, to pull a bunch of stunts. Yes, and I can look at that and say, that's awful. But I'm not taken down by it. That's all been factored in. And God will deal with it. Because these people will reap what they've been sowing. That's what we're studying here. In the face of all this evidence, all this unbelievable evidence that they're in the day of the Lord and Christ is coming back, I was trying to make a list of things that I didn't know back in the day. Are you with me? A list of things I didn't know. I couldn't have possibly known, because I didn't have the doctrine myself, that the Antichrist movement and all that, they're all going to be flat earthers. They're all going to come around to it. They're not going to deny the existence of Jesus Christ like a bunch of atheists. They know he's coming back. They aren't saying he's not coming back, like maybe people in our world have said that none of this is real. No, they're going to say that. I gave you Psalm 2 for the start of documentation on that. And of course, the insanity is that they're going to try to fight it all the way to the bitter end. Satan knows he's going down. I'll have to throw that one in. He knows he's going down. But he continues with this. I don't know what the psychological term for that is. They do occasionally have some good terms that describe human behavior. They don't do it in a biblical context, but they just observe human behavior, good and bad. That person is a whatever. I'm not talking about physiological problems. I'm talking about behavioral problems in people that they observe. So the verse, in this verse, judgments replaces ways of 15:3, and the order of adjectives describing the judgments is the reverse of that in 15:3. Just observation. His acts of judgment are an integral part of his ways. And as we study the Bible, we find statements to the effect, his ways are past finding out. But they're all righteous. They're all in accord with his perfect essence. He doesn't do one thing over here and then contradict it over here, like we see with people all the time. Espousing one thing, then doing something different because of circumstances. The acts of judgment are, again, an integral part of his ways. Yes, there are acts of mercy and love and deliverance and all that. But there's also acts of judgment that fall on people. His ways are that he gives everybody a chance up front to get it together. And he's patient with people and long-suffering. Did Did you know that about God? He is patient and long-suffering. He was with the Exodus generation, but eventually his patience wears thin, to speak, and the wrath came down on him, and they all died in the wilderness instead of inheriting the land of promise. And they died in some pretty bad ways before their time, many of them. But he honored the two that didn't let their friends and their relatives and their fellow Jews mess their heads up, because they looked at the facts. How do we get out of Egypt? Where's Pharaoh now and his big vaunted army, the number one superpower of the time? Where's that all now? And what are these miracles out here in this wilderness and this food we eat and this water we drink for so many people? And nobody, they said, there's a verse that says, they did a lot of walking. They always had footwear. When you're out there doing all that kind of walking, your footwear matters. They saw all of it. They observed all of it. And they hardened their hearts. Woo! The one where all you got to do is look at in the direction of this. They made a serpent on a bronze serpent and put it on a high pole. And if you look that direction, look at it. If you got bit by a deadly poisonous snake, you're healed instantly. Now there's theological symbolism in this. We're looking to a man who went on a cross, who became a curse for salvation? Yeah. And any one of the Jews at the time who looked in that direction, and this was not a fun way to die. It was excruciatingly painful. This venom. I can just see some of the kids of the Exodus generation. Mom! Just look over there. I did, and I got bit, and I'm fine. What kind of a mentality refuses and sits there and hemorrhages internally and dies a slow, painful death? These are all lessons in our Bible, the Bible, the book for me. You can read the stories and read it, but it has to connect. People get all this evidence and then they turn against it. They're not even compatible with their past history. Who are you? You schizophrenic? It's sad. Very sad. Part of my job that has always been a pressure on my soul. The verse asserts that all God's judgments are true and righteous. That's what I'm going with. They're completely righteous based on His perfect character. All right, we move on to bowl number 4. The fourth bowl, these two verses, 8 and 9. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun. The fourth, tetartos, the fourth poured out, ekkeo, poured out his phiale on the helios, the sun. And it was given to it to scorch men with fire. And it was given, didymi, to it, to scorch. Kamatizo is an aorist active infinitive. It means to scorch. It means to, you know what it means to have something scorched? Men with fire. That means on their epidermis. It was so, it'll get so hot that they're going to suffer on this. One, the fourth angel directs his bowl upon the sun. The preposition upon, epi, instead of into, as in 2, 3, and 4, indicates the different destination of the bowl. The fourth trumpet had the sun as its immediate object, but the affliction was a darkening. A darkening of the sun. There's going to be phenomena going on with regard to the heavenly bodies. We're not through yet. All of this is to teach men that God is the creator and he's in control of this. It's not some accident. Because they've rejected him as creator through history. Now they're going to get to face it in no uncertain times, terms. And they're going to know. As I said, they're going to know there is a God, there is a creator, and he's in control of these things for good or for ill. And they're going to learn the school of hard knocks. And those who flunk, they really flunk. The form there was given shows that God is the sovereign power behind the widespread scorching of men. He interferes with the process of nature to bring torment upon men. They fully know, that should be they fully know who is responsible, as evidenced by their blasphemy in verse 9. They're shaking their fist at heaven, if you will, running their mouths. You take someone here in the world and put the truth in front of them, they're going to react to it. That are negative, they're going to react to it. And even violently. They will know it's coming. And for their own best interest, no. So they fully know who is responsible, as evidenced by their blasphemy in verse 9. The immediate agent of the burning was the sun, as seen in the pronoun to it. God, through this angel, and is pouring out of the contents of his bowl. I don't know what it is. Nobody can explain it in scientific terminology. We just accept it by faith. It's right here. On the sun, does something to the sun that makes to the sun that makes this judgment possible. In effect, it's a miracle. The victims of the scorching are the men. The article could be taken as generic, mankind, but the repetition of hoi anthropoid in verse 9 raises a likelihood that it refers to the same class of men as in verse 3. The 144,000, they're not going to be breaking a sweat. So he can do these things. Oh, I'll bet you can't do this. Yeah. Discriminate, if you will, in a righteous way, and just attack the mark of the beast crowd and the blasphemers and the God haters. The Jews up in those hiding places, they're not going to be scorched. They're not even going to be sitting down there in incredible heat. How's that work? I don't know. No one will know until we get there. Then we'll know. The sufferers of this bowl are the worshipers of the beast in his image. Or it refers to all non-believers regardless of their affiliation with the beast. I don't know. This seems the best way to take noun men with a definite article. Believers, at least, are protected with a sort of a sunscreen, a protection, a shield, a supernatural shield. Hey, if three Hebrew young men can be thrown in a fiery furnace and it doesn't affect them in the least, then he can do this. Bring it upon negative volition and let the righteous not be walking around saying, "Oh, it's so hot." All right, I'll let you go. Pick up at 9 tomorrow. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name.